Joining me now, the podcast is On the NBA with Dave Dufour. And stunningly enough, the host of On the NBA podcast with Dave Dufour is Dave Dufour. It would be odd, Dave, if it was on the NBA with Dave Dufour and your name was Sam Jones, you know?
You know, I've actually thought about that, like franchising the podcast and letting other people host like their own version. I really think that that's a great money-making opportunity I'm missing out on.
It probably is, and you got to get on that. I might steal that idea from you and start doing that immediately.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the brand recognition is strong.
There you go. That's a good plan. Dave, obviously we've spent a lot of this show talking about free agency, LeBron James, and all. But before we get to what LeBron James is going to do, Joe Varden at Cleveland.com wrote an article today about the fact that Dan Gilbert says that if LeBron does leave, that he's not going to trade Kevin Love. They're not going to blow it up. They're going to try to compete. My question to that would be, why would they do that?
That's a great question. That's a question a lot of people are asking. You know, that's to me, that's just being stubborn. You know, he wants to prove that he can put a playoff team together without LeBron is what it, that's how it reads to me. I don't think that's a playoff team. I mean, you know, LeBron essentially carried a lottery team to, you know, 49 wins or whatever they had last year. And, I don't think it really moves the needle unless they make some sort of big move. But remember, this is a team that's still going to be over the cap, even without LeBron, potentially in the tax. I haven't crunched the numbers, but they're going to have major issues. And I think that a lot of this is a smokescreen. The last thing you want to say as an owner, like if you want to lose leverage, you say, well, if LeBron doesn't come back, we have to blow it up. And then all of a sudden, you know, Kevin Love isn't worth very much. So it could just be a smokescreen. It also could just be a guy being stubborn. I mean, this is the author of the Comic Sans letter.
That's right. The embarrassing letter. Yeah, I mean, listen, and it's possible they could be the eighth seed, right? Because, like, who are you battling for the eighth seed? Detroit and Charlotte and the Knicks. So maybe they could make the eighth seed, possibly with, like, 33, 35 wins, something like that. But, like, what would be the point? So you get smoked by Boston in the first round or Philly or whatever. It's just crazy. I get it. You know, billionaires are billionaires for a reason. They think they know everything better than everybody else, but that's just crazy.
Well, I think, you know, recent NBA history has proven that when billionaires get too involved in the basketball side of things, it doesn't go well. So, you know, I will say, you know, they've got decent players. You know, they'll presumably have a full season of healthy George Hill, a full season of healthy Kevin Love. You know, if everything breaks right, yeah, it's probably an 8 seed or 7 seed. But I think that those guys are a little bit more interesting as trade pieces than they are as actual players on a playoff team.
All right, let's talk about what LeBron's going to do. I mean, I'm a little I'm speaking from a selfish perspective because I work in Cleveland. I do a show in Cleveland during the week, and I've lived here 7 years. And even though I'm not born or raised in Cleveland, I have a lot of friends here now. They're all Cavs fans. So I selfishly, for business and personal preferences, I'd rather him stay in Cleveland. But everything seems to be pointing to him going to L.A. Are you amongst the many who believe he's going to the Lakers?
Yeah, it certainly feels that way. I mean, you know, all the reporting has been very much about how this is a quality of life decision for LeBron and how, you know, his family, you know, it's all about making them happy and, you know, like thinking about Bronny and his career and all of these sorts of things. And it just seems to me like all of the signs are pointing to L.A., all the reporting's pointing to L.A. I'm at the point where I'd be shocked if it was anywhere but L.A., but if it's anywhere but L.A., it's definitely going to be Cleveland. That's the point I'm at right now.
Yeah, I'm right. I mean, I guess Philadelphia would be the third choice, but that seems so unlikely, nothing pointing to that. I do think there's a chance he stays in Cleveland because it does mean something for him and his family to be from Ohio, or be from Northeast Ohio, and what that means. It means a lot to people in this area, there's no doubt. And he has a lot of power in the organization that he might not have in L.A. And certainly going to L.A. doesn't guarantee a championship. But I believe, and I'm curious your thoughts, Dave, I believe roster-wise, L.A.'s roster to me, even as is better than Cleveland.
What I would agree with that. I just think from an asset standpoint, you know, they've at least got more tradable assets, more appealing assets. And that's the name of the game, you know, because it's, as we saw with Cleveland at the trade deadline, teams can change on, you know, at the turn of a corner. It's not like this whole thing where you've got to take multiple years to create a contender if you've got pieces. And so I think that the pieces that the Lakers have are certainly more valuable around the league, and that has to be worth something. You know, if I'm building a team, I would rather have Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and those guys to be able to move than Kevin Love, George Hill, J.R. Smith. You know, I just think that, you know, that's the important part to remember. People think right. too much about what the team looks like today. The truth is, we don't care what the team looks like until the trade deadline in February.
That's right.
That's how much time you've got.
We're talking with Dave Dufour, podcast on the NBA with Dave Dufour, Real GM. Dave, if there were no salary cap in the NBA, how much do you think LeBron James would make per year?
Over $100 million.
Right? He would.
LeBron James is the most valuable player potentially of all time. It's a debate between him and Michael Jordan. Any contract he signs is a value deal. He immediately increases the value of not only every player on the roster, but the franchise itself. You know, ask Dan Gilbert how desperate he really is. Like, if you can get him to tell the truth, how desperate is he really to get LeBron to stay? I would argue that we could see the Cleveland Cavaliers franchise valuation drop by half if they lose LeBron James.
I agree. I agree with you that it'd be at least $100 million, and he'd still be getting underpaid for what he's worth to that franchise. There's no doubt. I mean, I agree that he's the most valuable player I think he's the most valuable player in the history of American sports. He's worth more money.
I agree. And especially when you take into consideration how sports media has changed in just the last 10 years, you know, much less 20 years. You know, with all of there are so many 24/7 sports networks. Obviously, the news cycle is nonstop. And, you know, LeBron James has potentially delivered more bang for your buck than any pro athlete in any sport in history.
Yeah. Dave, are you
buying? American history, actually.
Yeah, in American history, yes. Dave, I am not buying Paul George going back to Oklahoma City. I guess if LeBron stayed in Cleveland, I might buy it. But if I don't buy the scenario that LeBron goes to L.A. and Paul George stays in Oklahoma City. I don't buy there's any possibility of that happening. Do you?
You know, I don't have any sources there, but I will say the reporting seems like he and Russell Westbrook have gotten really close. And, you know, we know that these relationships matter. You know, the Paul George documentary that was on ESPN the other day, he was very adamant about wanting to be a Laker at one point in his career, but it's funny how things change. You know, there's a chance that LeBron going to L.A. sort of makes Paul George rethink going to L.A. Maybe Paul George actually wanted to go to L.A. and be the man. And you know, I'm not normally one that thinks about things in this way, but it feels like this sort of, like, sea change that's happened with Paul George coincided with the real LeBron buzz to L.A. You know, if we look 2 years ago when all the first Paul George to L.A. stuff popped up, I mean, it just seemed like a done deal. And this is why the Lakers sat on offering a trade, and they were like, well, we don't want to do what New York did with Carmelo, and we want to keep our assets, and we're just going to sign Paul George anyway. And now that it may backfire, this is why I'm so adamant about them being aggressive and getting Kawhi Leonard, because you don't know. Like, a year is a long time. I mean, if Kawhi gets traded to Philadelphia, you know, he's got a relationship with Brett Brown. They're really close. He goes there. He's in a winning environment. They become the favorite to make the finals out of the East, because I'd put them above Boston if they had Kawhi Leonard. And so, you know, you go there and they make the finals, and let's say they lose in 5 or 6 or whatever to the Warriors, if the Warriors make it. How hard is it going to be for Kawhi to walk away from that winning situation?
That's true.
It's going to be really difficult. And this is why, like, I think people – they don't realize how tough it is to find superstars, and they tend to overvalue their own assets a little bit. I think that we're seeing that with L.A. They're really, like, they run the risk of missing out on Paul George because they weren't aggressive last summer, missing out on Kawhi Leonard because they're not being aggressive enough this summer. And then, you know, is it just going to be LeBron? Like, is LeBron going to go by himself? This is – it's this whole thing that is interwoven throughout the entire – free agency, you know, and then even with Kawhi Leonard's free agency. But yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I'm as clueless as anybody else on Paul George staying in OKC.
Right. We're talking with Dave Dufour. The podcast is on the NBA with Dave Dufour. Dave, Speaking of Kawhi Leonard, if you had to bet today, you know, we're all just guessing, obviously, but if you had to bet today where he ends up, where would you bet on? Where'd you lay the chips?
Well, I mean, I think ultimately the Lakers will come around and make a big offer. But, you know, the Spurs are going to take the best deal they can get. And as we've seen, with teams that are willing to gamble, it has paid off quite a bit more than we ever expected. I mean, again, look at OKC. We didn't think OKC would be in the conversation to keep Paul George. And all the signs are pointing to him staying. I mean, Brian Windhorst reported this morning that players around the league expect Paul George to stay in OKC. And this is something that up until, I mean, even when they left – got kicked out of the playoffs, we didn't think was going to happen. So
right.
I think if you're Boston, if you're Philly, even maybe Miami, you know, you're looking at this Kawhi Leonard situation and you're saying, you know what, we could put together a very aggressive deal and we get a guy who, when healthy, was a top five player, an MVP, really had an MVP season 2 years ago when Russell Westbrook won. And, man, if that guy is going to pass the physical and be healthy, which all reports are that he is 100% and he's ready to go. Well, that's a hell of a player. They don't come around very often. So, you know, you can't just look at Brandon Ingram and you know, Lonzo Ball and say, well, we think this guy is going to be as good as Kawhi Leonard one day.
Right. It's a good
when
point.
When you can go and get Kawhi yeah. Leonard. Kawhi Leonard's 26 years old.
Yeah.
You know, he's
got, it seems like he's older.
7 years.
Yeah. It seems like he's older, but.
It's because he's been really good.
Yeah.
For a long time already. You know, it's
right.
not unprecedented.
Yeah.
When you look at his career, like the leap he made, remember he came in the league as an elite defender on the wing, which is the most valuable thing you can have, shot creation and elite wing defense. And then he turned into a shot creator. He's a 45%+ three-point shooter. He's a 90%+ free throw shooter. These guys just do not grow on trees. They are once-in-a-generation type guys, especially with that defense. And he's got, you know, 7 more years of his prime. It's a no-brainer. It's just such
yeah.
a no-brainer. I'm sorry. I've been arguing this with Lakers fans for the last 2 days.
Right.
I'm a little fired up about it.
I don't blame you. So you made some good points. Dave, let's talk about some things not involving, you know, these teams necessarily. DeAndre Jordan opt out of his contract yesterday. And 3 years after spurning the Mavericks, could he be headed there again? There was a report about him going to the Warriors. It's even possible to think the Warriors could sign another good player, but who the hell knows? But what do you think? Is he finally going to go to the Mavs 3 years after he blew them off?
Well, we'll start with the Warriors. If he went to the Warriors, he'd have to sign the taxpayer mid-level exception, which is
right.
$5.3 million, which would mean he would have given up almost $20 million.
Yeah, that's crazy.
To win a ring. It would be crazy. But you know what? It's 1 year. Maybe he just goes and he wins a ring, and then he's back on the market next year and can get a two-year deal. It looks like what he's looking at is probably a three-year deal in the range of $70 to $80 million if he goes to Dallas. And I'll give Mark Cuban a lot of credit. The guy doesn't take things personally, and I think that that's smart. I mean, you know, in business, like this is how you stay successful, and basketball is a business. And so when you look at that situation from a few years ago and you had the whole emoji gate thing happening, it was kind of embarrassing. But I think it was more embarrassing for DeAndre than it was for the Mavericks. You know, the Mavericks did everything right, and you know, despite the fact that DJ signed an offer sheet, they didn't seek compensation. They didn't make it a big deal. And I think that's smart. And I actually think DJ fits well there for a year or two. I would love to see them go out and try to be aggressive with a guy like Clint Capella, just because he's younger. He kind of fits the timeline of Doncic and Dennis Smith a little bit better.
Yeah.
but DJ could be a guy that comes in. You know what you're going to get from him offense. You know, he's an elite offensive center. His vertical spacing is fantastic. He's a great screen setter. He's good on the offensive glass, which, you know, Rick Carlisle values a little bit more than Doc Rivers did. But I worry about the wane on the defensive end. You know, his block rate last year was, like, the lowest in like, 6 years of his career. And so I worry about that because I think that what they think they'd be getting is not quite what DJ is anymore. I mean,
yeah.
He's on the downward trend in his career. So I'd love to see Dallas go out and be aggressive again, try to get a guy like Clint Capella. And if nothing else, you hurt Houston when they have to match that big offer sheet. So
yeah.
I like DJ a lot. I think he's a really good player. But I don't love the fit just because of his age and what they've got going on there. I think that they're on the right path. I believe in Dennis Smith. I think Luka Doncic is a generational talent. And I would love to just see him go get a really good guy like Clint Capela who just fits that timeline a little better.
Dave, appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.